अंडरस्टैंडिंग कर्म ऑन द प्लेटफॉर्म ऑफ ज्ञान.
हरे कृष्ण. दैवमेव परे यज्ञम् योगिनः पर्युपासते ब्रह्माग्नौ अपरे यज्ञम् यज्ञेनो वैपजुह्वति. So in the 24th sloka of this chapter, Krishna spoke about yajna in spiritual consciousness leads to a spiritual goal. Yajna means it's a fire sacrifice or it's any activity that is intended to get some result. So when you do that in spiritual consciousness, that will lead to a spiritual goal. Brahma arpanam, brahma havir, brahma agnav, brahmana hutam, brahma evatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. So till that point we discussed elaborately. Now different types of yajnas are described. 25th verse onwards, Krishna describes different types of yajnas. First one, Daivam eva pare yajnam yoginah paryupasati. Okay. So there are some karma yogis who perform worship of Daiva. Okay. Means demigod worship. They worship the demigods with different yajnas, different sacrifices. That is one type of yajna. Second, brahmagnau apare yajnam yajne naivopa juhvati. Some people do the yajna of Brahman worship. One type of yajna is demigod worship. Another type of yajna is Brahman worship. And the demigod worship is done by these karma yogis. And the Brahman worship is done by jnana yogis. Fine. So these are two types of people who are doing two types of yajnas. Okay. Next, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Factually, sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is also called yajna. So sacrificing worldly possessions and sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge is like these are different varieties of sacrifices. Okay. So one may sacrifice worldly possessions in worship of some demigods or something like that, or sacrifice to acquire knowledge. Okay. Those who are in Krishna consciousness sacrifice all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, and those who want some type of temporary material happiness sacrifice their material possessions to satisfy demigods. Now, sacrificing material possessions could be done to worship Krishna also, to worship demigods also. Fine. But worshipping Krishna is the better way of giving up one's material possessions. So there are different people like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu. They stayed away from their material enjoyment and worshipped the demigods. To do what? To get more benedictions for sense enjoyment. Similarly, devotees are there. They may also stay away from their material enjoyment, but they may not use the benedictions that they receive by bhakti yoga for sense enjoyment. In the first place, they don't want any material benedictions, okay, and they don't have any material sense gratificatory enjoyment pursuits. Fine. So but the point here is sacrifice is being involved. Some sacrifice they are doing either in demigod worship or in Brahman worship or in Supreme Lord's worship. Okay. So, fruitive workers sacrifice their material possessions for material enjoyment, whereas impersonalists sacrifice their material designations with a view to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord. So, these activities done by Jnana Yogis or Karma Yogis are also sacrifices. Clear? 26th Sloka. श्रोत्रादीनिन्द्रियाण्यन्ये संयमाग्निषु जुह्वति शब्दादीन् विषयान् अन्य इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति श्रोत्रादि. सो द 26th वर्स स्पीक्स अबाउट दि सैक्रिफाइस डन बाय ब्रह्मचारीज एंड गृहस्थस. 25th verse we have seen the sacrifice done by karma yogis and jnana yogis. Now 26th verse we see the sacrifice done by brahmacharis and grihasthas. So what sacrifice do the brahmacharis do? Shrotrani indriyani anye. They dedicate their senses. Okay, Shrotra means ears and other senses. In the sacrifice of, in the fire of Samyama Agnishu Juhvati. Samyama means self-control. Agni means fire. Juhvati. So now, you are comparing the activities done by brahmacharis or grihasthas or karma yogis or jnana yogis with sacrifice. In a sacrifice, something is offered into the fire. So in that sense, things are described here. So karma yogis may sacrifice their worldly possessions, right, in the fire of demigod worship. Jnana yogis may offer sacrifices into the fire of Brahman. And brahmacharis, they sacrifice their senses into the fire of sense control. And grihasthas, shabdadin vishayan anya indriyagnishu juhvati. So grihasthas offer their sense objects into the fire of senses. Okay. So means fire is senses there. The oblation is sense objects. Means for grihasthas, sense enjoyment is allowed. But for brahmacharis, senses are offered into the fire of sense control or mind control. You understand this difference? So brahmachari life is predominated by self-control. Right? Sense enjoyment is not there. Or is very minimal. It's not enjoyment. It's just doing the needful to maintain the body. That's all. But for grihasthas, some kind of sense gratification is allowed. Fine. They can enjoy, they can engage in sex life and they procreate in a restricted way. Fine. So point is, they offer sense objects into the fire of senses. Means, they bring their senses in contact with sense objects to a certain degree. Not unrestrictedly, by the way. That is grihasthas sacrifice. And the brahmachari sacrifice is, they offer senses into the fire of sense control. So, sense control is their prominent thing. Next. That is 26th sloka. Brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Pure brahmachari engages fully in Harir Namanu Kirtanam, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So, this unrestricted, unattached sex life is also called yajna. Because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency towards sense gratification for higher transcendental life. And at one point, the grihastha also has to sacrifice his sense gratificatory tendencies. To a certain degree, it's allowed, but not lifelong, but not all the time. Okay. 27th sloka. Sarvanindriya karmani pranakarmani chapare atmasamyama yogagnahu juhvati jnana deepite. 27th sloka is about the followers of this yoga system, Patanjali yoga system. So sarvani indriya karmani, sarvani means all. Indriya karmani means activities of senses. Prana karmani chapare, and there are, prana is this life airs, right, prana vayus. Atma samyama yoga agnav. What do these Patanjali yoga system people who follow that do? They offer the functions of their senses and also functions of their life airs into the fire of sense control. Fine. Atma samyama yoga agnav. Agni, the fire here in this sacrifice is Atma Samyama. Means the process of controlling one's self. So what are the oblations here? Two things. One, activities of senses. Two, activities of life airs. Means a yogi who is doing this kind of Dhyana Yoga or Patanjali Yoga people. So what do? They control their senses. And not only controlling their senses, they also control their life airs. For a brahmachari, controlling senses is only mentioned. But here it's a more specific. He is a Ashtanga yogi or a Dhyana yogi or a Patanjali follower of Patanjali yoga system. So they have to exercise some breathing also. They have to control their breath also in the fire of sense control. Fine? So juhvanti jnana deepite. Okay, because they have an urge for self-realization, so they perform these activities. As long as the soul is attached to sense enjoyment, it is called Parag-Atma. But as soon as the same soul becomes detached from sense enjoyment, it is called Pratyagatma. So Pratyagatma, Parag-Atma. Pratyagatma involves sense enjoyment. Parag-Atma involves detachment from sense enjoyment. Fine. So that controlling or restricting sensual enjoyment is very much innate in many of these processes, many of these sacrifices. Grihastha is allowed, but it is restricted, right? Controlled sense gratification. For a brahmachari, no sense gratification. Okay? Almost. So 28th sloka. Dravya yagna stapo yagna. Yoga yagna statha pare. Svadhyaya jnana yagnascha. Yatayaha samshita vrataha. Dravya yagna stapo yagnaha. Dravya yagna is sacrificing one's dravya, means whatever possessions that you have, sacrificing it. Dravya yagna, that is the charity of sacrifice, the sacrifice of charity. Fine. Dravya yagna means charity. Next is tapo yagna, means the sacrifice of tapasya. Tapasya means doing so many austerities. Next, yoga yagna means the sacrifice of mysticism, means doing so many yogic exercises. Next, svadhyaya yagna. Svadhyaya jnana yagna means the sacrifice of engaging oneself in shastric study. Right? That is svadhyaya jnana yagna, study of the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Yatataha samshitavrataha. These are various types of yagnas. In this one verse, four types of yagnas are mentioned. One is charity, dravya yagna. Second is austerity, tapo yagna. Then third is mysticism or yoga yagna. Fourth is svadhyaya jnana yagna, which is study of Vedic scriptures. Fine? Scriptural study. So all these are different sacrifices only. As I said, sacrifice is not just fire sacrifice. It is any activity done to get an intended result. Right? Sometimes some of these activities are compared to offering something into the fire of something. Just like offering senses into the fire of sense control. Brahmacharis do that sacrifice. Fine. So, Svadhyaya Yagna is sacrifice done in studying the Vedic literatures. Krishna consciousness is different from these because it is direct service to the Supreme Lord. And only by the mercy of the Lord and bona fide devotees, one can advance in Krishna consciousness, and that Krishna consciousness is transcendental. So, although all these different types of sacrifices are mentioned here, ultimate purpose of all these sacrifices is to develop Krishna consciousness. That Krishna will clarify from the next verse. 29th sloka. Apane juhvati pranam. Prane panam tatha pare. Pranapana gati ruddham. Pranayama parayanaham. Apare niyataharaha. Pranan praneshu juhvati. So this is another yajna called pranayama yajna. This is the last yajna that Krishna describes. From the next verse onwards, he describes the purposes of these sacrifices. So in the 29th sloka, he describes pranayama. This is also considered yajna. Now you see, apane juhvati pranam. There are some airs within the body that go down. That is called apana vayus. And there are some airs in the body that go up. They are called pranavayus. Fine. So, here, apane juhvati pranam, prane apanam tathapare. Now, you see, you perform some breathing activities, breathing exercises. So, controlling breathing is called pranayama. And that controlling you do in various ways. Fine. So, what are they? The life airs that are circulating within the body, right, you reverse their directions. As I said, prana is upward going air, apana is downward going air, you reverse it. Fine? So, you curtail the eating process and control the senses while doing this pranayama. Now, Acharya say, puraka is prolonged inhalation. That is prolonged inhalation. Then, kumbhaka is you inhale and stop there, right? Stopping the breath after inhaling or exhaling. So you breathe in and stop there, or you breathe out completely and stop there. So that stopping is kumbhaka. Puraka is prolonged inhalation, and stopping the movement of both upward going air and downward going air. Okay, this involves this pranayama. So some make prana merge with apana. So when you prolonged inhalation you do, so you are merging prana with apana, and prolonged exhalation you do, then you are merging apana with prana. Fine. Some make prana merge with apana through puraka, and some make apana merge with prana through rechaka. Puraka, rechaka, kumbhaka, three things. Puraka is prolonged inhalation. Rechaka is prolonged exhalation. Kumbhaka is just holding the breath. Either after prolonged inhalation or prolonged exhalation, you hold the breath. That is kumbhaka. That's in the middle. Puraka, rechaka, kumbhaka. So in puraka, you merge prana with apana. Means puraka, you merge the like pranavayu with apanavayu, the downward going air. Okay, so that is puraka, and the other way around is kumbhaka. Is it clear? Should I just summarize again? Puraka means prolonged inhalation. Rechaka means prolonged exhalation. And kumbhaka means holding the breath after prolonged inhalation or after prolonged exhalation. These are the three types of breathing exercises involved in the pranayama. And there are two types of life airs within one's body. There are pranavayus and apanavayus. Pranavayu is the upward airs and apanavayu is downward going airs. So in puraka, in prolonged inhalation, what you do? Prana is merged with apana. So the airs that are in the nose that are merged with the airs that are going downwards, right? So that is called puraka. And in rechaka, you do prolonged exhalation. Then the downward going airs, they are merged with the upward airs, right? Prana. Apana is merged with prana. So these are the various breathing exercises. Fine. So this is also a kind of sacrifice. Okay, pranayama sacrifice. So, but what is the purpose of all these sacrifices that Krishna is describing so far? He described various yajnas called demigod worship, Brahman worship, mind control, sense control done by grahasthas and brahmacharis, and also austerity, charity, Vedic study, pranayama, mysticism. These are various sacrifices. All these are ultimately intended to accumulate jnana. Let's see, 30th sloka. Sarvepyete yajna vidho yajna kshipata kalmashah yajna sishtamrita bhujo yanti brahma sanatanam sarvepi ete yajna vidho. By all these sacrifices, whatever is described so far, from 25th verse to 29th verse, different types of sacrifices are described. All these sacrifices, yajna kshipata kalmashah. By performing all these yajnas, the sinful reactions are eradicated completely. Yajna kshipita kalmatah, kshipita kalmashah. So, next. Yajna sishtamrita bhujo. Yajna sishta means the remnants of sacrifice. Okay, amrita bhujo, having tasted the remnants of this sacrifice or the results of this sacrifice, yajna sishtamrita bhujo, yanti brahma sanatanam, one can attain spiritual realm. Clear? So by performing these sacrifices and by enjoying the results of the sacrifices, one will enter the spiritual realm. So the common aim of all these sacrifices is sense control. So in all these sacrifices, there is some kind of self-control involved. So sense gratification is the root cause of material existence. But by doing all these sacrifices, if you control your senses, there is a good possibility for you to transcend this material existence. Okay? And come to the atmosphere of Brahman or the spiritual realm. 31st sloka. Nayam lokostya ayagnasyam.
Nayam
kutonyah kuru sattamam.
Kutonyah kuru sattamam.
Very simple and small sloka. 31st sloka. Krishna says, Nayam loko asti ayagnasya. Yagnasya means one who is performing yagna. But ayagna means one who is not performing any yagna. Means no self-control in him. Because every yagna requires some kind of self-control and some kind of endeavor for a higher purpose. So you are not doing any yagna. You are just whimsically performing so many activities driven by the urge of senses. So, nasti loko ayagnasya. So, there is no happiness for a person who is not engaged in yagna. Without sacrifice, one cannot live happily either in this life or in another life. Loko specifically refers to planets. Some people perform activities to go to the higher planets, to the next better planets. So, that is not happening in the case of a person who does not do sacrifice. So, kuto anyaha kuru saktama, what to speak of other people who don't, what to speak of attaining other planets, even in this life, either planet or life, in this context. So, one cannot attain happiness even in this life, what kind of happiness he will attain in the next life, if he does not perform any sacrifice. Okay. So, whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. The situation in which the conditioned soul is living, it could be very comfortable situation, very wealthy situation. But if he is not doing yajna or if he is not cultivating spiritual consciousness, he is basically ignorant of his original constitutional position as a part of God, as a servant of God. Okay, that's what Prabhupada is saying here. The human life is the only loophole by which one can get out of this entanglement. So, the material world is very wonderfully designed to entangle the conditioned soul, but there is one loophole in that design, human form of life. Whoever comes to this human form of life can escape from this material existence. Okay, that is a speciality of human life. Okay, in other lives it's not very easy. A dog or a cat or another buffalo, or so that ignorant animals may not be able to immediately transcend unless they receive very special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave mercy to a dog. Dog was delivered. Right? But generally, human species is that form of life by which one can attain liberation very easily. 32nd sloka. Evam bahuvidha yajnam.
Evam bahuvidha yajnam.
Vitata brahmane mukhe.
Vitata brahmane mukhe.
Karmajan vidhitan sarvan.
Karmajan vidhitan sarvan.
Evam gnatva vimokshase.
Evam gnatva vimokshase.
Evam bahuvidha yajnaha. By performing all these kinds of sacrifices, bahuvidha yajnaha. Vitata brahmano mukhe. They are all coming from the mukha of Brahmana. Brahmana is not referring to Brahmanas or even Brahma Dev, Lord Brahma. Here Brahmanaha is referring to the Vedas. Vitataha brahmano mukhe here refers to that which is prescribed in the Vedic scriptures. By performing all the yajnas mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, what will happen? Karmajan vidhitan sarvan evam gnatva vimokshasi. So one will be liberated easily. Okay. Thus many types of sacrifices are described in the Vedas. They are born of different types of work. That is karmajan. If you remember in the cycle of sacrifice, what is that? Third chapter, text number 10 to text number 16. The cycle of sacrifice is described. Okay. So there, anna dhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhavaha, yajna bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavaha. Yajnas or sacrifices are born out of karma, prescribed duties. Right? Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi. And that karma or prescribed duties of people are born out of Vedas. Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi. This verse of fourth chapter, 32nd verse is very much connected to 3rd chapter, 14th verse. Here, what is mentioned? From the Vedas, in the Vedas, prescribed duties are mentioned. And the part of that prescribed duties is yajnas. So the connection between Brahma, Karma and Yajna is described in these two verses. Brahma is Vedas here. Karma is prescribed duties, yajna is sacrifices. Fine. Actually, prescribed duties are sacrifices. Okay. Sacrifices are prescribed as prescribed duties for different people, different of different varnas, and they are all mentioned in the Brahma Vedas. Fine. So now. What is mentioned here? Evam bahuvidha yajna vitata brahmano mukhe karmajan vidhitan sarvan evam gnatva vimokshase. So by knowing this and performing this, one can attain liberation easily. Different types of sacrifice are mentioned in the Vedas to suit different types of workers. Because men are so deeply absorbed in the bodily concept, these sacrifices are so arranged that one can work either with the body, with the mind or with intelligence. Fine. Ultimately bringing about liberation. Clear till now? 33rd shloka. 33rd shloka is very interesting. Shreyandravyamayad yajnat
Jnana
yajnah parantapa
Sarvam karma khilam partha
Jnane parisamapyate Shreyandravyamayad yajnat Jnana yajnah parantapa. So, better than Dravya Yajna is Jnana Yajna. Is it clear? Jnana Yajna is the sacrifice of knowledge that you perform. Means the sacrifice that you perform in knowledge. Right? That is Jnana Yajna. That is better than Karma Yajna. Dravya Yajna. So, it is better than mere sacrificing material possessions. You merely sacrifice. Oh, sacrifice means I have to give up something. I will give up my material possessions. This is my Yajna. That is one way. That is called Dravya Yajna. But Jnana Yajna means you sacrifice things in knowledge. You have knowledge behind giving up something, renouncing something or being detached to something. So whatever sacrifices or duties that you perform in knowledge is better than doing the same things without knowledge. So ultimately the result of sacrifice should be to get that knowledge. Krishna says here, Shreyan dravyamayad yajnat jnana yajnah parantapa sarvam karma akhilam partha jnane parisamapyati. Sarvam karma akhilam. All the karmas, all the prescribed duties that you perform, or all the yajnas that are born out of your prescribed duties should culminate in jnana. Jnanam parisamapyate. Is it clear? We repeatedly mentioned this point. Now we are hearing this directly from Krishna. Sarvam karma khilam brahma. Sarvam karma khilam partha. Jnane parisamapyate. All your karmas or yajna should culminate in developing jnana. Means the culmination of karma yoga is jnana. You perform various sacrifices as a part of your karma yoga to attain transcendental knowledge, jnana. Is it clear? So this is the conclusion of this section. So in this section, from 25th verse till 33rd verse, we have seen different types of sacrifices. Right? Sacrifices are demigod worship done by karma yogis, Brahman worship done by jnana yogis, then sense control done by brahmacharis, and sense engagement done by grihasthas, okay, and also self-control done by yogis, Patanjali yogi people, and charity, austerity, mysticism and scriptural study, pranayama, these are various types of sacrifices that people do. And all this, by doing all these sacrifices, your sins are destroyed. And without sacrifice, we cannot attain happiness in this life or in the next life. And all these sacrifices are actually prescribed in the Vedas. They are born out of your prescribed duties. Right? Vedas give you your prescribed duties. As a part of your prescribed duties, you should perform yajnas. And all this yajna should ultimately culminate in jnana. By performing all these activities according to your prescribed duties, you attain knowledge. Thus, jnana is the result of karma yoga when done properly. Fine? Thank you.